Welcome to The Forum, the program that educates, motivates, and advocates on behalf of our listeners. The Forum is sponsored by PNC Bank. We have on the line today State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, who continues to climb the ladder of leadership in state government, most recently named as the lead budget negotiator for House Democrats. Gordon Booth was already the first African-American and first woman to serve as Speaker pro tempore, the highest-ranking member of the Illinois House from outside the city of Chicago, just a few heartbeats away from the top leadership position in the state government. You're looking at all the money. You're at the money table. Tell us about this.
You know, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to be in this space. I'm only here because the people of Peoria have sent me here. I am keenly aware of that. I carry that on my back every day. And my hope is that this new role certainly comes with a whole lot of work. But as always, I want to see Peoria get the benefit of that hard work and see investments increase, because Peoria, like so many communities, have gone through a really tough time and have a lot of promise. We have a lot of assets. If we can just get, you know, the right resources connected in our community with the right people to do the right things, we can really, you know, do some great work. And so I'm just excited about, one, the opportunity, first and foremost, to be a good fiscal steward of the taxpayer resources, right? This isn't my money, it's taxpayer money. To be a good fiscal steward, we have been on a good track for the last 3+ years or so in terms of really turning the state's fiscal situation around. I mean, we were on the brink of, it wasn't that long ago, we were on the brink of bankruptcy, literally the only state in the nation that would have happened, that was obviously under the Rauner administration. To go from that level of brinksmanship to having not one, not two, not five, but 6 credit upgrades that really have turned our situation around. But we have to continue down a strong fiscal path. And so it is my intention to, pay attention to all of the headwinds that, you know, that I should be paying attention to as it relates to economic forecasts and what that will mean for the state of Illinois, so that we can take the state's resources and invest them in an economically viable way, but also, you know, taking that busy intersection that I stand in, right? I'm a millennial mom, I'm a wife, I'm an African American woman. You know, taking that lens to that table with me, I think it only serves to enhance the process, to have more voices, to have diverse voices at the table, to help to bring more color to the picture as we are looking at the numbers of, you know, of the state budget, right, and bringing to light those faces that are behind those budget lines. So I look forward to being a part of that robust process, but I certainly am very humbled, and I would even say, I'll be honest with just you and me and the listeners, I even have a healthy dose of fear, which I think is a good thing, right? I'm walking into it with no ego, and that fear, what it's making me do is literally making me consume every bit of information that I can, because I really just want to do a good job and make my community proud.
Yeah, well, some fear is good, but don't be scared.
Oh, I ain't say scared.
Because you got scared. Because, yeah, you got this.
I have confidence. I have ultimate confidence in myself. I think a healthy dose of fear, it's like, you know, if you listen to entertainers, right? And the good ones, I've heard Jay-Z say it. I've heard Beyonce say it. Before they go out on that stage, the butterfly, they feel that fear. It's more of that, right? I ain't scared.
Right.
But it's that kind of like you know, when you get ready to do something big, and this is big. Like, the state is, if the state were a company, this would be one of the largest companies in the nation, Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a gravity, there's a sobriety that you got to walk into that with. And
right.
It's just the pressure to it. And so that healthy dose of fear, is, I think it keeps you on your toes.
Well, and I would even say maybe fear is not the right word. I think what I hear you say, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is, you know, I'm a little older than you, and I remember you when you were young, and I know your journey. And I know that now you've reached this level in your journey where it's like, wow, I'm like the, what, third, fourth ranked representative in the state, couple three heartbeats away from ultimate leadership in the state. And I'm serving on the budget committee, which is major because we're talking about bazillions of dollars. And that's what I hear. It's like, okay, let me take a deep breath, because now this is a whole nother level of public service.
It's real. It's again, we're talking 50, 60 billion, would it be, billion dollars. Mm-hmm. And it's the kinds of numbers that we deal with and the lives that are impacted by the work.
Now, I got to ask you this. When you come back home to Peoria, is your new assignment, does it carry with it another level of expectations from your constituents? And are those expectations okay with you? Or do you think some people may have some unrealistic expectations? Because, you know, people will say, oh, okay, well, Jahan, now that you're on the budget committee, I know you got the hookup and I know you're going to hook us up. But you don't mind some of that, because when you, as I've told you before, I can't remember a representative from your district who has brought more money back to their district.
I mean, here's the reality. I mean, there's still the process, right? Nothing bypasses the process. And so, you know, this space is very new for me, and it's even new to my constituents. And so I have not, you know, felt, you know, an inordinate pressure, right? There's always a healthy pressure that I have always put on myself to be able to deliver for my community, because I believe that regardless of whether I am the representative or not, I want our community to make demands of this process. One of the things that when I really look at, you know, sort of the economic largesse of the state of Illinois, these are our tax dollars. People in the city of Peoria pay a healthy amount of taxes that go to Springfield, and those tax dollars should be coming back into our community. And I have always felt the need to want to show us that I should not be an anomaly. This should be the floor, and this community has to make demands. When I say this community, I mean every corner of this community should be making demands of this process. And don't let people rock you to sleep with being nice. Okay, this process is supposed to bear results, and not just people showing up to your dinner, and not just people taking pictures and smiling with you. But our job is to pass the state budget constitutionally, right? You hope that people are voting on policy in a manner that is reflective of the larger community that is sending you to Springfield. And so I'm not going to be the state representative forever, but I want our community to understand that our community better get to making demands from this process. And so I'm not concerned about, you know, people making demands of the process, because if there is an opportunity to support particular initiatives, then they should be, you know, this is their tax dollars. They should be making demands of that process. It doesn't mean that what you get, you ask for, but you ought to fight for it. You know, other people are fighting. You should be a part of this process. Nothing is given, though. I want to be crystal clear. Nothing is given away. But there is an ability to be a part of this economic largesse and be a part of the various areas of state government, whether it be the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, the Department of Human Services, Department of Healthcare and Human Services. Our community should be taking an active role in terms of the dollars that are circulated back into our, that we send to Springfield that are then circulated back into our community with the hope and goal of building a greater Peoria.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Safety Act. We know that you have supported it. We know that it is now in the courts. There were a number of lawsuits that were filed. State attorneys opposed it, some law enforcement. And now a judge in Kankakee is weighing whether or not it is unconstitutional. Recently at the King Luncheon, the former Attorney General Eric Holder expressed some favor for no cash bail. For our listeners, explain where this stands now and explain why you still support these tenants that are being challenged in the courts.
It is my belief that individuals that pose a threat to our community, whether it be violent, whether that individual is a habitual criminal, that individual poses to be a flight risk or a threat to bodily harm of a particular individual or of community, those are the kinds of individuals that we want to see locked up in the county jail. Whether or not someone has the ability to make a bond should not be the reason why that person sits in jail or not. Their ability to pay for their freedom should not be the reason that decides whether or not they sit or they go. It should be based on the logic around flight risk and whether or not they pose an actual public safety risk to harming community. The system as it has operated has been based on money. Can this person afford to bond themselves out of jail? Not whether or not does this person pose a risk. The example that I will give you is that I was on a plane headed to Washington, D.C. to actually sit on the public safety panel with the daughter of the President of the United States back in the fall and to talk about public safety. And I was communicating with a local elected official, and we actually had a meeting, and I was communicating with them on the plane to say, hey, I think I'm going to have to push the meeting back a little bit. The plane was delayed, and the reality of it was that I had no idea, but what was happening on the ground was there was a double murder that had happened here in Peoria, and this is the double murder of the young child that was a student at one of our local public school I don't want to use any names or use any school names in the interest of protection. I mean, all the stuff is out there, but I just choose not to do it at this moment in time. But at the end of the day, this is an individual come to find out that murdered their former, their ex-wife and their stepchild and was in custody. And obviously I was paying very close attention because of the connectivity to the issue. This individual was given a bond. So had this individual or this individual's family been able to come together to come up with that bond, this individual could have bonded out of jail. That is insane. The man who murdered my son was given a bond. Even though he murdered my son in front of other people, he was given a bond. That is ridiculous. We should be holding people who cause harm to community. They should sit in jail with no bond. People who are not causing harm to other people should not have their entire lives upended merely because they can't afford to bond out of jail, right? Because what you end up having is you have a debtor society. Those who can afford will leave. Those who can't sit there. And we have seen stories all over the country where whether it's Khalif Browder and so many other folks who look like you and I, who have sat and rotted in county jails across this country merely because they're poor and they could not afford a $500 bond. And so The tenets of this, frankly, are really based on the Constitution, which is why we believe that this will pass constitutional muster. So I was not the sponsor of the Safety Act, but I was asked by the Speaker of the House if I would help to bring together the advocates and law enforcement, the state's attorneys, and all of the folks, right, that were around this issue that were oftentimes on opposite sides of this issue, to be able to come together on concerns that existed in the Safety Act. So Safety Act was actually the work of your fraternity brother, Representative Justin Slaughter out of Chicago, mm-hmm. And that was done in 2021. But in 2022, the Speaker of the House asked me if I would bring these very, very diverse groups together and see if I could help everybody to come together to negotiate a workable solution. And so that is the role that I have played for the last year, bringing together, again, law enforcement, state attorneys. And I'm very proud to say that we in Peoria have a great deal to be proud of. Sometimes we're very, very hard on ourselves, which can be okay. But I also think that we have to recognize when we're doing the right things and when we have good folks. Chief Echevarria was involved with those conversations. He was involved in all of them, but he was, showing up when he could to those statewide calls with chiefs and police officers and advocates from In Money Bond, ACLU. Showing up for those calls, State Attorney Jody Hughes, I cannot say enough about the way that she showed up. I'm telling you, there were moments in which she would show up on those calls. She brought so much practicality, so much common sense to the conversation that I cannot say enough about my level of appreciation for the way in which she showed up and really shifted the, my grandmother used to say, as a Christian woman, when you step in the room, the atmosphere should shift. And there were times when literally her presence and the things that she was saying would add to the process, because I was getting scared at one point, like, oh, Lord, we're not going to be able to bring it together. Everybody's so far apart. The political environment of, what was going on, if you think about September, October, what was going on in that season, I was in heavy negotiations at that time, so it was very, very difficult. There would be times when she would show up and it would shift the conversation, and it was so very much so needed, and I think it's important to share that. Because oftentimes the work a lot of elected officials do or folks that are in leadership positions do, it isn't done on Facebook. It isn't done on Instagram and on Twitter. It is done behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And people aren't doing press releases about it, right? And we live in a world of instant gratification. If you're not on social media, then you're not doing anything. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. And we have people right here in our community that were showing up who were being practical about the process, who were censoring the voices of people who have been harmed by the system, but also with a keen ear, listening to law enforcement, listening to their concerns, listening to the things that they were challenged with, listening to state attorneys and the concerns that they had about the process, all the while censoring poor people and black folks and brown folks. And I share all of this, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, because so often the politics of today makes folks feel like we have to be either polar opposites or diametrically opposed, or we have to be nasty to one another because we disagree on a matter. And I vehemently disagree with that. I believe that we can work together, we can disagree on issues, and we can work through them. And we might not end up at an agreeable spot, but I believe that we have to get back more towards an ear where we listen to each other with the true desire to get to a better place. And I'm telling you, there were many days where I did not think it was going to come together. But I'm proud to say that we had a work product that by the end of November, you literally had folks like, just listen to this list, people like the ACLU, FOP, In Money Bond Coalition, State's Attorneys Association, Sheriff's Association, the Illinois Justice Project, Chiefs Association, right? All of these different groups that all came together in the end and said, this is a good deal.
We want to remind our listeners, this is State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, and we are talking about her most recent appointment to the Illinois Budget Committee. Am I saying that right?
It is. I am now the Illinois House's chief budgeteer.
Chief budgeteer. All right. And I can't let you get off the phone without asking you also about the governor in the last week or so signed legislation on an assault weapons ban, and that has also generated some pushback. Illinois Rifle Association, a number of other gun rights groups have filed a lawsuit in Illinois federal court challenging the legality of the law. And it has raised some questions about, do local jurisdictions have the right to not adhere to state law? This is now in the courts. What are your thoughts on the assault weapons ban?
You know, I think the assault weapons ban, and I think we're the ninth state in the country to ban assault-style rifles. Obviously, in the city of Peoria, we have a great deal of challenges that, like many communities, that we're grappling with around the issue of violence. When I think about how we get to a better place society-wise, I think that the issue of violence has to be tackled from a number of different points, right? I think we have to be more invested in terms of identifying what are those root cause issues that continue to perpetuate violence, whether it's poverty, whether it's unaddressed, untreated trauma, lack of economic opportunity, the ability to be able to invest more in our healthcare systems and really begin to treat violence as a public health crisis that it is, but then also looking at the investments that we're making in infrastructure, looking at the investments that we're making in law enforcement, right? I think that all of those things are needed. I think we need more of a community-based policing. I think what Chief Echeverria and I worked on with the co-response model is going to be a model for the state of Illinois in terms of having a mental health response along with a police response to very important critical calls in this community, but also thinking about the kinds of weapons that are on the street. I know I have been involved, you know, the way in which the Peoria Police Department has really opened itself up in the last, 2 years has really been incredibly refreshing in terms of the amount of information that they share with the community. It's really been eye-opening to what can happen with a leadership change. And I vividly remember sitting in some meetings. I was involved in a meeting about a year or so ago with a bunch of mothers of murdered children here in this community, and police were, really reaching out to say, hey, we have this problem, and we believe that the women, the mothers, are the ones that can really make a demonstrated impact in our community on what's happening with our young men, in particular our young men. And they were sharing some of the things that they've been capturing, just monitoring social media, things of that nature. And the amount of assault weapons that I'm seeing in our community, it just blew my mind. I wouldn't have believed that it was Peoria. It looked like something that you would see in Iraq. And, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the right to bear arms. I supported conceal and carry when that came up in the state of Illinois. I believe in the right to bear arms, but I also believe that these assault-style rifles, these weapons of war, I do not believe that those are the weapons that when our Constitution was constructed, I don't believe that that is what they were, the gentleman that put that document together. I don't believe that those assault-style AR-15s is what they were talking about, and the way in which they have penetrated our community, and the way in which these weapons of war have, just wreaked havoc, whether it be at grocery stores, at places of worship, at parades, at schools, is something that we have to take seriously. And it shouldn't take for death to hit your doorstep before you want to, really think about making a significant change. And so at this point, it is in the hands of the courts. I supported the legislation. It's in the hands of the courts. And so whatever the courts, whatever decision they make, I will honor that decision.
Hey, I've been asking you a lot of questions, and anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't get to talk about?
I would impart, I just want to thank this community for their continued support of me. And even for those that don't support me, I relish the opportunity to be able to represent this community that I love so very much, that I was born and raised in. I look forward to continuing to be a partner of everybody in this community that's a doer. Those that are out here doing, the ones that get the recognition, the ones that don't get the recognition, I look forward to continuing to partner with them in ways in which we can continue to build a greater Peoria for all of its citizens, the ones that are here and the ones that, you know, that we hope to attract to our community, because we believe that our community is on the rise, and communities that are on the rise are typically attractive to other people. And so I want Peoria to always remain a place of hope, even in spite of some of the challenges. I want Peoria to remain a place of hope, and I hope that I can inspire folks to continue pushing, to continue striving, to continue believing that the best is still yet to come.
State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, hey, thanks for being on the forum.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
The forum is sponsored by PNC Bank. The forum airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. Sunday. We want to leave you with a quote from novelist Alice Walker, who said, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Thanks for listening.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.